If you would, please, and turn to Psalm 118. In the Bible, we find many, many occasions, a number of people that trusted God in a very difficult, harsh, dangerous situation. I think of Queen Esther. She's here tonight, sitting right over there. But in Esther chapter 4, verse 16, Esther is speaking, and she says in the latter part of verse 16, "And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." No one just marched into the presence of the king. If you remember when David was king and Absalom had been banished, he kept going to Joab trying to get an audience with the king. And he asked him once and he turned him down. He asked him twice. He didn't do it. And the third time, he set his fields on fire to get the attention of the king. Esther, she said, she told Mordecai, her uncle, she said, "Please pray, have your people pray and fast. Please know that my maidens and I were fasting and praying for 3 days. I'm going to go into the king and I'm going to beseech the king on the welfare of my people, the Jews." And she says, "If I perish, I perish." Now, what she means by that, when you walked in unannounced, unprepared, it was off with your head. No questions asked. I can't help but think about those three Hebrew boys. Man, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn, would they? But they were in a great place. Can you imagine the music playing and over the flat plains where this idol was lifted up? You could easily see all the hundreds of thousands of people bowing. But here's over here is three little silhouettes that refused to bow. And Nebuchadnezzar comes to him in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13. They were brought. He said, "Bring these men before me." And that he speaks to them and he tells them, "I want to play that music and you're going to march out there and you're going to bow like all these others have bowed." And they said to him, I love this, in verse 17 of Daniel 3, it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Now, they didn't say, "Not a problem, turn that puppy up, God's going to deliver us." They did not know. And this is where trusting God is all about. We don't know. We don't know. And they didn't know, but they knew this. They knew that they loved God. They knew they were going to serve God. They knew God was going to be preeminent in their life, and they were not going to be bullied and pushed to worship a pagan god. And so they say, "And if it be so, our God, will, whom we serve, is able," and I want to pause a minute. I want to tell you, whatever trouble you're in, whatever heartache you're seeing, whatever difficulty you're in, God is able. He's able. Amen, man. I like preaching from a chair tonight. I'm going to do good on this. I like this. Understand this. He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he says this, "And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Either way, they were going to be delivered. Now, you know the story as well as I do. Nebuchadnezzar, he is enraged. He gave them a chance to make this right. They refused to do it. He has the oven, the fiery furnace, 10 times hotter. It was so hot that the heat coming off of it made the man who threw them in perish. It was so hot. That's a hot fire. And they're in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar, he looks, he said, "Did not we throw in three? But yet I see a fourth man like in the Son of God." Hallelujah. Here's some men who said, "We're not going to bow, we won't bend, and we if we burn, we will, but we're going to serve our God." They wouldn't burn. I can't help but think of Daniel. We have Daniel here tonight, don't we? Daniel in the lions. Hey, what's that lion say? That's right. That lion says, "Rawr." And that's a feisty lion over there. And Katie would love to see that. And understand, he's thrown in. And King Darius, he's sad about it. He's pacing the floor. He knows who Daniel is. This is a great conspiracy to destroy Daniel. And he's thrown into these lions, into the den of lions. God, the angel of the Lord comes down. He shuts those mouths. And I think that they pile up around him like a bunch of kitty cats. And they keep him warm in the cold. And before morning could come, the king runs out and says, "Oh, Daniel, has thy God who thou continually worship was he able to spare thee? And Daniel said, O king, live forever, for my God has closed the mouth of the lion. You see, everything basically comes down to trusting God. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust the Lord than put confidence in man. I'm grateful that we have men who are experts in some things. I'm grateful we have men that have had great success, but at best, they're practicing. When we have a great physician who knows all things. In verse 9, notice it says, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Understand, we know this verse as well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. I love the testimony and the character of Job. In Job 13, verse 15, says, though he slay me, understand this, there are people who will say, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why that happened. When I get to heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll have the answer. So, no, we won't. We won't have any of that. And it won't matter anymore either, because we'll be in heaven. We'll be with Jesus. And Job, understand, he never did know. There he had his comforters, his friends who came to comfort him. And they say, Job, you're not right with God. You're away from God. This is the judgment of God. God is chastening you. Good to have friends like that. I don't want to be a friend like Job, man. If people aren't right with God, they tell me. I don't tell them. I just try to keep myself right with God. And we see here that he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now, how much do you trust God tonight? How much do you trust him? I want to tell you something. You can trust God with your measly 10% tithe and offering. Can't you? You can trust him with that. You can trust him with more than that. You start giving the tithe and you give the offering. Oh, you're going to go through some perilous times because the devil's going to make the transmission go out and the microwave's going to catch on fire and the plumbing's going to break. You know, I mean, things are going to happen. You're going to think, woe is me. Anytime a child of God takes a step of faith, the devil's going to oppose that some way. But you stay strong. You go deep in your faith. Listen, we're not facing angry kings and hungry lions and an insane narcissist who puts an image of himself up. Understand this. We can trust God. Do you trust him in every situation? You know, sometimes we say, oh, God, why me? Why not me? What is there about me? You know, why can't it be him? Are her? Why me? Why can't? Oh Lord, I've preached your gospel all over America, and I've preached your gospel in foreign countries. And Lord, I give my. Why me? Why not me? It rains on the just and the unjust. Who am I to ask God why or what? Understand this: do we trust him in every situation, or only in certain situations? It isn't easy for us to say, hey, brother, God bless you, praying for you. You just trust God. But when we're going up the mountains, like, oh, no one's had a mountain like this. Let me tell you something. People have had mountains much bigger than what we're scaling tonight. Someone said one time, I think it's true, if we took all of our problems and troubles and heartaches and went out and hung them out on the clothesline, you millennials know what that is, don't you? I don't know if you know that. None of us would want to trade with one another, probably. Can we trust him with our life? Would we trust him even if he took our life, or if he took the life of someone whom we love very much? You see, there's three questions I want to ask about trusting God tonight. Number one, what does it mean to you? What does trusting God mean to you? The word trust means a firm belief in another and another's honesty, ability, integrity. Trust, it means you believe in someone that will do exactly what they say they will do no matter what. Yeah. Trust is a thing where doubt about that person never even enters your mind. Many people think they have a deep trust in God, but what they really have is an obedience to God, and they're not the same. You know, it's easier to obey God than it is to trust God. Think about it. I want you to think about it for a little bit. It's easier to obey God. Obedience is not trust. You know what obedience is? Obedience is obedience. You know, it's easier to obey God than it is to trust Him. We can blindly obey someone because we think it's the right thing to do. We trust someone because we believe in him. For example, notice Peter. Though he trusted Christ, he denied him three times. I mean, he was obedient to the Lord, but he denied the Lord three times in one night. He wept bitterly because of it. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. His trust wasn't based on true belief. It was based on emotion. You know, there's a lot of folks who want to sing trust in Jesus and sing that until, man, leprosy hits your front door. And it's, oh, God, why? Why? Oh, God, this is bad. And I want to tell you, I'm connected to people on the internet, and I'm connected to some people through Debbie and her relationships. And I'm talking about young couples who are going through some things that if God doesn't do something, they're not long for this world. You see, I'm not saying misery loves company. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying we should cheer up because somebody else is so much worse. But I'm just saying this. We need to trust him. And obedience is not trusting him. Peter, he trusted. His trust was based off of Job. His trust was based off of true belief, not off of emotion. Job trusted in the Lord, and it was based upon truth. You see, Job, his trust was based upon a complete belief in God as one who knew what was best for him in his situation. Now, I don't understand God sometimes. If I did, I guess I would be God. But I don't understand God. But I trust God. I trust him. As a matter of fact, if we were driving to preach up in New York 2 or 3 years ago, and we were driving up there, and we got through Kentucky, and I mean to tell you, we hit a roadblock of traffic, and we sat there literally an hour and a half. I thought I was going to lose my mind. We didn't go this far in an hour and a half. Now, it's not hard. It's not easy to sit in that. For me, it's not. But I don't know if God was holding me back from something that was down the road. I don't know what God was doing, but I know this. He doesn't put me in a traffic jam just to be mean and to be spiteful and to wear me. Everything he does for us is because he loves us. How do we know that? Because we trust him. That's how we know that. You see, Job's trust was based upon a complete belief that whatever God put in his life, God was still to be trusted. Job utterly took the trust that he had, even though others condemned him as being away from God, not right for God. His own wife told him to curse God. She said, curse God and die. But yet we see that he says, though he slay me, he doesn't understand why this is happening, yet will I trust in him. I want to be a Job. Well, we asked, trusting God, what does it mean? But let me ask, do we believe what God says? Let me tell you something. God says what he means, and he means what he says. You can take that to the bank. How do we know that we can trust God? Because what he has said has always come to pass. When you read the scripture, you see where what happened and what took place. We have prophecy that's been fulfilled exactly as God said it would be. The Bible speaks about, Moses who the sun stayed still? Was it Joshua? It was Joshua. The sun stayed still. And there are those who have these brilliant computers that go back eons, and they can see that a day is missing. It's from that time. It's amazing what can be proven. And we have seen the prophecies fulfilled. We know that his word is trustworthy. We can count on him. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Take that to the bank. Psalm 33 verse 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He cannot lie. He tells the truth. Others have trusted God before we have. There are men who have gladly laid down their lives. We heard this morning about the village man in the village that was there among the headhunters and the cannibals, and how he had accepted the God the missionary was preaching. And his sons were killed. He was given an option. His wife was killed. And he still said, I have decided to follow Jesus. They have faced torture. They have faced pain. They have lost their homes. They've lost their fortunes. They've lost their family. And yet they still trust the Lord. Understand, the early church was greatly persecuted because of their faith. And there's places today, such as China, and possibly tonight in the next few days, listen to me, Brazil may go communist. There's a great happening that's there. And they really have to trust God. We know little of nothing about persecution and persecuted for our faith. The one thing God has said that is the hardest to believe is that we will continue to live on after death. That's something we have to look at. You know, we have people stand and say, I just want to give a praise, Pastor. God spoke to me. I think of a sweet family, they're here tonight. And they said, God challenged us about our faith promise. We were already giving much above what we had been giving in the past. But God spoke to us, gave us a number. We both prayed about it as husband and wife. God solidified that. And we committed our faith promise commitment card to that. And we started giving that, and it wasn't 2 weeks later, my husband got like a 15 or 18% increase in salary. Don't you know God can do it? Yeah. You see, we hear about things like that, but we haven't heard anyone say, yeah, I got a testimony. I died last Thursday. It was a terrible situation, and I just want to praise God that I got back my life and came back from the dead. Well, we don't see that. That's alien to us. And by the way, there are those who say, I've seen a light. I walked in the light. I don't trust those people. They write books on that stuff. I don't know about that. Maybe they were. I don't know. I'll let you know if I see a light. And, this can be a hard part. Understand, this is where faith and trust have to operate in its highest level. And I think that people, I don't know what people are thinking sometimes. Because I want to tell you something. We're dying every day because of sin. And we want to know what God has said. We wonder these things. When things begin to unravel in our life, here are some things that people think. God, where are you? Let me tell you something. He's right where he's always been. He hasn't moved. We'll think, God, have you forgotten me? God, do you still care for us? When all the best laid out plans go bad, we wonder why God would allow this to happen to us. And sometimes people get angry at God. I've seen people who have lost kids that live like the devil, and I've seen people who lost kids that were just great kids that loved God, and I've seen both of them perish in car wrecks or crib death. I've seen this in my life, and they get mad at God. I remember being at Bible college and being there at college, and there's this young man, very handsome young man, sweet wife, just newly married, just like Debbie and I were. So many of us were in that station. We were married for a short while, had a child on the way, was pretty much our station with the other students. And they were so happy about this little boy that they had. And he died in crib death. And I literally saw that man in front of me in my classes, in my preacher boy classes, just turn sour, bitter, and angry at God. Later, he quit ministry. I don't know whatever happened to them. I never talked to him. I had a burden for him. I wanted to talk to him, but we had just had our first child, and I think it would have been a situation like, what do you know about it? your kids alive. You see, we can't afford to get mad at God. Sometimes it seems that we suffer more than unbelievers. Don't we do that? We see somebody who's just godless. I mean, I remember being in college and our utilities were turned off. We paid the school bill. We didn't pay anything else. We paid the school bill. And here's a guy who lived behind us. And I mean, he had a deplorable lifestyle. He was a nasty old man with a young woman that was living with him, very young woman. And he's out there one night. We had these cans of English peas. That's all that we had to eat. We didn't have salt to go on them. Don't ever serve me English peas, please. I'll try to be kind. I hadn't eaten English peas back since then. I don't know why God even made English peas. You know, it's one reason why I have a little bit of disdain towards the English, maybe, and everything. And he's out there. And I'm not kidding, Debbie. I'm not telling the truth. He's out there grilling. He's got ribs and steaks going, and the devil's going and blowing that smoke right over into my little trailer shack. And I got angry at God, and we had one can of English peas left, and I pulled that can of English peas out, and I took it, and I slammed it on the counter. I said, God, I won't eat it. I won't eat it. I'll starve to death before I eat that can of English peas. I won't do it. And I went in down the hallway, and I threw myself across the bed like a rebellious ninth grade girl and slammed the door, and I was crying, and I was angry. I wasn't crying because I said it. I was crying because I was mad. When someone's crying and they're sad, they're like this. But when somebody else is crying and they're looking on the ground for a brick or a stick, they're mad. I was mad. And Debbie was afraid a lightning bolt was going to come through the house and God was going to get me. But after a little while, I said, God, I'll eat it. Oh, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll eat that stinking can of, it's our last can, I'll eat that stinking can of English peas. And I got up, went in, and sat in the living room. There's a knock at the door. And there was Mike and Sandy McGarity, and they had these two big baskets or sacks full of food. I saw it. And they wanted to talk about the good things of God. I just wanted them to leave. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been so poor that you can hardly walk up and down the steps because you're hungry? I mean, have you ever been hungry? And you're worried about your wife and you're worried about the newborn. And they finally left. And the first thing I did, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I ripped the top off of that Betty Crocker icing. And I took that finger in there and went in there. And I got a good taste of it. And I thought, hallelujah, God answers prayer. Can I tell you that he knows what is best? He knows the future. We don't. And he said that while everyone else told him to curse God and die, Job, he refused to do so. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God is going to have his sovereign way. Trusting God is not based on whether he gives us everything that we ask for. You know what that is? That's selfishness. Selfishness does not produce trust. Selfishness produces fear. Think about it. Someone said that they asked God for something and he didn't give it to them and therefore didn't feel like that he could trust God. You know, I asked my parents for a lot of things and they said that no to me, but I never stopped trusting them. Can I tell you this? I grew up hearing no 15 times more than I ever heard yes. And I even had some looks that don't even ask, you know. I know you know what I'm talking about. You see, this is a very selfish motive. This will never develop trust in our God, only fear. Paul's the example. If Paul ever had a legitimate prayer request, it was that this thorn in the flesh would be passed by him. He prayed three times. God said no. He prayed a second time. God said no. He prayed a third time. God said no. Did Paul stop trusting God when God refused to heal him? No, he didn't do that. He accepted the fact that God had another plan for him. He accepted the fact that God knew what was best for him. How do we develop a deeper trust for God? How do we get to the place where Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? How do we get to that place? Three things, and I'm done. Number one, let me say that Job had a real relationship with God. The people who are asking why and what and getting sour, they don't really know the God. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they don't really know God. Job had a real relationship. I'm not talking about once a day or 2 days a week. I'm talking about a 24/7 relationship. Job grew close to God. And if you want to trust him, get close to him. Now let me tell you something. I'm trying to pick this out, but it's hard. It's hard to do. Ken, I want to use you, if you don't mind. I want to use you. You look like I can use you. Don't hit me with your cane, though. I had lunch with the Brands today. We had a good time. They were a blessing, and I got to know them better, and they got to know me better, and they still came back tonight. Isn't that wonderful? But I don't really know Ken very well. I know a little bit about him. And if he came up to me and said, "Preacher, I really need to borrow your Silverado," I would say, "Ken, I really appreciate that, you know. Now here comes a bologna sandwich, you know. I know you're a good fellow, but I really can't give you that truck. There's a lot of reasons. If Ben Miller came to me and said, "Preacher, you know me since I was 3. Can I use the Silverado?" I said, "Talk to Debbie about the Toyota." You don't give somebody something that you don't know. If Moses came to me and said, "Pastor, can I use your car?" I'd say, "Well, do you have a license?" "No." I said, "Well, are you a good driver?" "No." I said, "Well, why would you use my car?" He said, "I'm just going to trust God with it." And no. You know, the more you know somebody, the more you trust them. There's things that I would do for James Gray, and I don't know where Joe went, but for Joe Grapes, because I know them. But I probably wouldn't have done it. How long have you been married? 18 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done that. You see, we have to understand, we've been taught never to trust a stranger. God doesn't want us, he doesn't want to be a stranger in our life. He desires for us to have a personal relationship. I'm not just talking about salvation here. I'm talking about an intimate relationship. One time, Ben Miller wanted to borrow a trailer. Now, I'm meticulous with my stuff. I am. Come over to my garage, you'll see that. I'm meticulous with stuff. Don't have a lot of it, but I'm meticulous with it. And Ben said, "Pastor, can I use that trailer?" I said, "Sure, go ahead." And he took the trailer. Do you remember this? And he was backing up. And what did you do? He broke the lens off of the back of the light of my trailer. But yeah, I'm getting there. Before he showed up, he had a new lens on there, you know. And that's fine. That's the right thing to do. But I want you to know this. I trust him to do that. I actually trust him not to break it, but he fixed it. Yeah. Understand this. I think Rachel was driving it when that happened. And understand this. The more we know God, the more we find out about his faithfulness, the more we know him, the more we trust him. Job understood this key was that he knew God. Paul says this in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him." Is this Paul writing this? Paul who took the missionary trips? Paul who had been stoned to death, got up, went back in and preached the gospel? the Apostle Paul, is this who this is, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable or conformable unto his death. Understand this. Trust God with your family. Trust God with your friends. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with your future. We can trust him. Now, what kind of trust do you have? Can I tell you this? I learned a long time ago. God wants the tenth. He wants a tithe. I gave him a lot more than I have for many years. But God can have all of it if he wants it. I know I'm not going to be hungry. I know I'm not going to starve. God's going to meet our needs. He's shown that over and over and over to us. You see, it's true what I said much earlier in the message. Everything basically comes down to our trusting God. And we can trust him. A lot of times we want to talk about this. That's minute. But whatever you're going through, whatever hardship you have, aren't you glad that he's present? He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. Aren't you glad that at certain times he touches us and lets us know? Aren't you glad that sometimes he pours out his power? Don't you understand that we need to go deeper in our trust? Esther did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Daniel did. David said, is there not a cause? I'll go out there and I'll face that uncircumcised Philistine and I'll feed his body to the beast of the field and the fowl of the air. That's not braggadocious talk. That's faith and trust in God. You know what he said? The battle is. Yes. Now, what is it that you have in your life that you just think you're not going to be able to bear it? Can I just tell you, you've got a God in heaven that loves you and he'll fortify you. He'll strengthen you. And his sovereign will be done. And whether it's what you wanted or what you didn't want, we should praise him because we can trust him. Stand with me. Lord, we're grateful that we can trust you. Lord, who else can we trust? Oh, I trust many of the men in our church, and I trust my wife. I trust my friends. But none of them can do what you can do. Lord, I trust the doctors that I've met that are going to be helping me soon. But Lord, I have a deeper trust in you. And I know nothing can take place, nothing can happen unless you allow it. God, I love you and I trust you. Help our people. I pray for our young people. Lord, I've never met a 13-year-old D.L. Moody or Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I've never met a 13-year-old or 15-year-old with great spiritual depth. But God, I pray for these. These are good young people. Help them to go deep in their trust. And may we rest in our trust in you, knowing that it will be exactly as you want it to be. In thy name I pray. Tonight, as God leads you with heads bowed and eyes closed, for any decision, if you need to talk with me, I'll be right here. Happy to talk with you. If you need to come to the altar, listen, don't hesitate. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, you are worthy and you are trustworthy. I'm going to trust you. Come now.